Hello, my name is Stephen Bigelow, features writer with TechTarget's Storage Media Group, and I'm speaking with storage industry veteran Randy Kearns. Randy, thanks so much for joining us today to talk about unified storage.
My pleasure.
Randy, there are lots of questions surrounding unified storage, understanding what it is, its strengths and weaknesses, and its importance to the enterprise. So let's go through some of the most frequent questions that you encounter. And I think the best place to start is with a definition. So can you tell us, what does unified storage really mean?
Yeah, that's one of the things that sometimes when you read different marketing material from vendors, it can be confusing. But at its very basic, it's a storage system that will support both file access and block access. That means I can use it for file systems and storing file data, or I can use an application that does block-based I/O right to that same system. So in this case, that storage system is really operating in two modes, block and file.
And Randy, what is the advantage of having unified storage over the architectures that are available today?
Well, there's a lot of debate about that. There's some very obvious things in that for many customers, they may want to just have one storage system and not have a specialized one, a specialized NAS system that just supports file-based access or a very complicated block storage system that's, you know, maybe called a RAID array, just as that, so they can combine to a single solution. That's the attractiveness that you hear a lot about. Many customers look at it from a standpoint that they have some flexibility with getting a product that supports unified storage, meaning that they can buy it and deploy it maybe just as a file-based system, for example, and use it there, and then at some point in time, if they want, they could redeploy it in a different usage mode. So it gives them the ability to make a decision about, you know, what the storage system is going to do for them at any point in time.
And just to elaborate a little bit on that, Randy, is there a cost savings involved, a simplicity in the maintenance? Are there any other tangible benefits to the users?
That's very debatable. Some of the block storage systems that they may buy can be complicated because of all the functionality they provide, some of the capabilities and the technology, the interface technologies they employ, and those sophistication that they may have. Most of the NAS systems are very simple, the ones that provide only file-based access. They have made it somewhat of a marketing competition to say that they can deploy the system in, you know, so many minutes, maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes, whereas a typical block storage system takes significantly longer. Now, if you end up putting block and file together, how would that work? You know, if the complexities of block versus the simplicity of NAS in one platform, would you still have it? In reality, what you end up with is really a fundamental difference in what's being deployed. A majority of the unified storage systems are really NAS systems that they've added block mode support for, and a very large percentage of those are iSCSI only, meaning that what they've done is they've taken a NAS system, and rather than just having a gigabit Ethernet interface, for example, that handles the NFS and SIFS protocols and deals with the file systems and the volume management for file systems, they add an iSCSI target mode driver and then execute the SCSI target mode commands, and then those go against a particular volume that is dedicated, or LUN, if you will, in normal parlance, that's dedicated to that particular usage for that target mode. So those that are limited in scope to that, for example, have a little more simple environment than a storage system that was designed for more high performance and complex environments in the block mode. taking those and implementing NAS on those is a different exercise, a little different level of complexity, I guess. So the ones that are probably built on a NAS base with only iSCSI support probably would be simpler from a management standpoint. Now, those that add fiber channel capability to it, that's more complex because it has more high-end enterprise solution capabilities than you would typically see in an iSCSI environment. Things, the masking and LUN affinities, things like that. So that brings more complexity. So whether it's simpler or not versus two independent ones really depends on the history of where that product came from and how it was designed and how it operates now.
Excellent. Excellent. Those are some terrific insights, Randy. That's wonderful. And you had alluded also to vendors. And the next question I think that makes sense for listeners is, do all the vendors offer unified storage at this time?
No, they don't. Some are moving in that direction, and certainly some have some product offerings that maybe they source somewhere else that they put their label on. But there are several that have been out for a while. Certainly NetApp has been there for a while. And then you see a lot of products today from several vendors that are based upon Microsoft's WSS as a file-based offering, and then with the SCSI target mode added to it to become a block-based offering as well. And so you see a lot of those with different vendor labels on them. There are other companies that have added a NAS interface card, if you will, to a larger storage system and given the capability of having NAS connection to a very much larger or much more complicated block storage system. But all in all, there's only a few vendors that really do offer this solution today.
Great. And Randy, what are the disadvantages of unified storage over independent block and file systems?
There's some compromises that you're going to be making. There's certainly some granularity of control issues. If you think about it, the pattern of access of file-based data and block-based data is significantly different. In file-based data, you'll probably be sending longer streams of data and typically not have the locality of reference that you might have in a block-based access where I may be doing transaction processing and things like that. So the management, the data residency in cache is dramatically different. The management of cache would be different. And a lot of these systems don't have the capabilities to say that, hey, I know that this is a file-based access, so I'm going to have these resources dedicated to it and this type of algorithm for cache occupancy and these types of transfers I'm going to set up for links and things. Whereas a block-based system would be tuned to handling individual blocks and have different algorithms for cache residency. So a lot of these systems don't have the granularity of control of understanding what I do about a block-based I.O. versus a file-based I.O., and those lead to compromises primarily in the performance area and could lead to some degree of variability in performance. One of the big things as you get into more performance-critical environments is that you need some consistency of performance. I know that I'm going to run this particular job, if you will, and it takes this amount of time. Whereas if that particular block-based application is combined on a system that has more dynamic file-based access, they could get some variability in performance due to some resources being allocated to the file-based side that makes it inconsistent on the block-based side.
And you had spoken a little bit, Randy, about performance, and the next question is, what will be the impact on performance of mixing block and file in the same system?
Well, there's two. There's the thing I talked about in the caching is certainly there. The other thing is a lot of the implementations, like I was talking to earlier, that are implementing a block functionality on top of an already a NAS-based system, they're typically doing that with another layer of software or two that would not exist in a system that was designed specifically for block-based I/O. So there'll be a longer code path. And so the optimization would be that if it's specifically designed for block-based, it would be probably faster than if it has this other layer of software in a unified storage environment. Now, that's comparing two equal systems with equal hardware and equal, you know, back-end disk and everything like that. Typically, though, you really want to not get down to that level of detail from a customer standpoint. That's really a systems designer considerations. From a customer standpoint, what you're really interested in is, you know, depending on your application, but you're interested in the I/O rate and data rate, the amount of data you're going to transfer in certain applications, and then you're interested in the consistency of performance. And so it may be a unified storage system that has enough performance for your application, and that's just great. If it doesn't, maybe a block-based system alone might be the best answer. So you really have to not worry so much about the design details, understand why there is a difference, but then look at the system as an overall and say, will it meet my needs? And the variability is the thing that trips up some customers, and they've got to look and say, do I have a constrained environment? Do I have any of the controls on the systems where I can dedicate my storage system resources so I optimize what is my most critical job to be run, if you will? And if I can manage that, then a unified storage system is entirely, you know, a good solution for some customers.
Randy, let's talk about the differences in operations. Are there any differences in operations between unified storage and my existing storage systems?
Typically, there are, and a lot of it depends upon the individual environment, but normally a block storage system is handled by a storage professional or a storage administrator that very specifically is trained or has experience in these types of systems. You go into a lot of the NAS-based environments, many of those are handled by either network people or systems administrators that don't have the deep understanding of the way block systems operate. So now when I put a Uniford system in, I have some territorial problems, or I may end up creating a hybrid of the way of who handles what. So it's in the larger enterprises. When you move down market and move into the smaller, you know, the mid-sized business and small businesses, typically they don't have any storage professionals or storage administrators, and it's a systems administrator that has the added task of dealing with storage, so that's less of an issue. But if I move up into the higher-end enterprise where I do have very specific job descriptions and, you know, specializations in understanding and recovery, understanding, you know, the hardware issues and the performance issues, then I could end up with some type of territorial issues in dealing with a unified storage system.
Randy, let's talk about cost. Does it cost extra for unified storage?
Well, remember I was talking about the fact that a lot of the NAS systems were, even WSS with iSCSI Target, those are additive functions that are not significantly more costly than a basic NAS system. Maybe just an added charge for that particular piece of software on them. If you look at the block storage systems, they're typically more expensive, not always, but most of the time more expensive because there's more specialized hardware in them. They work towards this consistent performance or higher performance. For those that they've added another interface card in to support NAS, those will typically be more expensive because that's another typically specially designed interface card that's plugged in. Now, comparing block storage systems that are generally available today and file-based systems today, typically the file-based systems are less expensive because they're, I don't want to say simpler, but certainly easier to understand, and the barrier to entry to develop these products is a lot less.
Well, Randy, we've talked a little bit about performance and we've talked about cost, and one of the big factors left to consider is reliability. Is there any reliability difference with unified storage?
There are some interesting aspects to reliability. Are the first thing is, and an easy thing to say, is the componentry any different? In general, there may be some minor differences, but not enough to make a big deal about. And the reliability tends to be more colored by human actions than failure in hardware, either from the standpoint of administration, or it may be in the software that's written to run on those platforms. So the majority of the failures then probably are in some degree of based on how sophisticated or complex the system is. The more complex it is, the more opportunity there is for a failure to occur due to that complexity. So if it's a very complex system, I would say it'd probably have a higher failure rate than a simple system. It's also, if it's a complex system, then the administration of it lends itself more to someone making an operational error or operational mistake and creating a reliability problem. Unfortunately, a lot of those human errors in administration are reported as a system failure or hardware failure. And with some degree of justification, yes, that guy may have made a mistake, but if it was that complicated that allowed him to make that mistake, then it is somewhat of a failing of that system. So would the unified storage system be more prone to failures than, or less reliable than independent ones? Probably not significantly, unless it's implemented in a very complex fashion.
Excellent. And Randy, what about the higher end features like snapshots and remote replication? Where do they fit into unified storage systems?
Yeah, that's actually a great question, because of the fact that in the it's gotten, as we've progressed along in time now, most customers expect to have these features both in their file-based products and their block-based products. In the block-based products, historically, those have been to like systems only, systems from the same vendor, but that's been changing somewhat to be more heterogeneous as time has gone on. However, that's still the exception. But that remote replication or that snapshot is all based on the granularity that particular block system supports. So it's typically at a LUN level. So I can take a snapshot, and the snapshot may be really a copy on write or a clone on a particular LUN basis. And if I'm doing a remote replication, it's typically on a LUN or a set of LUNs. And in the case of block storage systems, those are more sophisticated, have some write ordering requirements between LUNs to maintain database integrity. When you move to the file-based systems, like NAS systems, for example, those have the same type of snapshotting or checkpointing capabilities people have talked about, but they're done at the file system level with a significantly different implementation. And the same is done for the remote replication. Typically, that's done at the file system level. So when I combine the two functions into unified storage, the operations and the way they actually work and the way you administer them is going to be slightly different. That leads back to the earlier discussion about complexity. Now I'm going to have a box that's got really two flavors of doing, file-based snapshot and remote replication, or block-based snapshot and remote replication. The characteristics, the operational issues are going to be different, and then I may end up with these considerations as what my target is. If it's on the remote replication side, if it's a like box, that's easy. If it's an unlike box, there may be some specialty things I have to think about.
Terrific. And Randy, I don't think that any discussion on an emerging technology would be complete without a little bit of future think. Will all storage systems be unified storage at some point in the future?
I don't think all storage systems will be, and there's a reason for that. Let me get to that in a second. I do think that you'll see a unified offering from all the major vendors, and the reason being is that it's a very competitive world, and to not have an offering which could be perceived to be a black mark against a vendor and limiting their choice. And so I think because of the competitiveness of the industry and the competitiveness of business, every vendor will have an offering here at some point in not too distant future. Now, is there a reason not to have everything unified from this point forward? Yes, I think there are some reasons not to, and the simplicity part is one of them. There's also some environments where the utmost in performance is required, and those may stick to a particular type of block system. So I think that you'll continue to see independent products, a block-based product that's independent, file-based, and then you also see maybe a file-based product that has the option of a unified or a block mode interface added to it. I think that'll be the trend in the future. So we'll see a lot of vendors, the big-name vendors with their high-performance block systems still out there, but they'll also probably be offering a unified system that can be utilized as NAS only, but also can support unified storage as well.
Great. Well, Randy, I think that wraps it up for today's question and answer session. I want to thank our unified storage expert and frequent search storage contributor, Randy Kearns, for sharing his insights and expertise with us today. Randy, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
And I'm Stephen Bigelow, features writer for TechTarget's Storage Media Group, and you can learn more about unified storage and other storage concepts at www.searchstorage.com.